We almost sang 158, Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove. That's the subject this morning. Look at Luke chapter 3 with me. Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 3. Read a couple of verses with me.
Luke chapter 3.
Look at verse 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Christ's baptism and the dove. Now, in verse 3, John, it says, came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. His day was a corrupt day, like ours. And he preached repentance to everyone that came to hear him preach. That's what he preached. Repentance means a heartfelt conviction and guilt and shame and sorrow over sin against God. That's what it means. Our Lord said in the Proverbs, He that confesseth his sin and forsaketh them shall find mercy. We need mercy. Most people don't know it. But we all need mercy. Starting with this preacher. Because all have sinned. All the prophets preached repentance. All of them. John was the last Old Testament prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ came preaching repentance. So, preacher, why are you preaching this? You've already done that. I hope nobody's saying that. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's a broken and a contrite heart is what it is. Thus say it, listen to this, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, he said, I dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the contrite by the gospel. The gospel is only good news to guilty people. You know, the gospel is not good news unless you first heard the bad news. Mercy doesn't mean anything unless you're guilty. Pardon doesn't mean anything unless you're waiting to be punished. When you see a diamond, when you go to see a pearl of great price in a jewelry store, what does the proprietor do? He brings out a black velvet or dark blue velvet, a black velvet cloth, and puts that pearl of great price upon that, because then it really shines. Then it really sparkles. Then it really catches your eye and you see its beauty, its wonder. And that's Christ. He's that pearl of great price. He's the Savior of sinners. I mean, sinners. This gospel is only for sinners. You've heard me say so many times, I'd love to put a sign on this church house. No good. We're not looking for good people. We're looking for sinners. Christ came not to save the righteous, call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Our Lord turned to His disciples. They were born again. They were converted men. And He turned to them and said, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. Didn't it? Repentance is more relevant now than ever. On a day like today. Preacher, this is Easter. Make us happy. Stay tuned, okay? If you're a sinner, it's going to make you real happy. If not, it won't. Repentance is more relevant, more needful now than ever. You rarely hear it, do you? Do you hear it? Do you hear the word? This is the most corrupt, twisted, sick, and perverted society in the history of the world. Maybe not more so, but it's more widespread. It's like the days of Noah, our Lord said, the whole earth had corrupted His way. And God said, I'm going to destroy it. But God made an ark and a man to gather them in the ark. That man's name means rest. Noah. We'll get to that in a moment. And he represents Christ. Repentance is needed now more than ever. These are the last days. There's some people in here who have not yet repented. Today is the day of salvation. John preached repentance. Look at verse 16. He says, I baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We looked at that in fire. And verse 17, his fan is in his hand. He will purge his floor. Repentance is purging. And this is what the Lord does through the preaching of His Word. Purges, separates, divides the wheat from the chaff. You remember that? Christ is the one who came. Purge is church. The fire and a hammer, the Word, and the fan in His hand. Separating the wheat from the chaff. Did He not say that? The chaff, remember, the chaff is empty. The chaff is refuge. The chaff is lighter than air. Nothing to it. And any wind that comes along, it's gone. It's gone. But the wheat, heavy laden, burdened, like a child of God with sin, no matter how they're tossed on the seas of life, or by the fan of God's Word, reproved, rebuked, corrected, no matter how they're convicted, they fall at the feet of the winnower. They fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble, broken, contrite. Will you go away? No, I've got to stay right here. I want in your garner. I want in your kingdom. I'm not going anywhere by your grace. I'm no better than that chaff, but I'm just going to fall at your feet. That's what the wheat does. This gospel separates the wheat from the chaff. Sinners, stay here. Pharisees know. Verse 21. So all the people came to be baptized. So John preached repentance toward God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, as John was preaching, repentance toward God, you know what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ came walking up. And you know what John said? It's not right here. It is in the other three Gospels. You know what John said? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not just Jews, but Gentiles. Every tribe, kindred, nation, people, tongue under heaven. Right there He is. The Lamb of God. We're all a bunch of sinners. God said there must be a Lamb. God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, God will by no means clear the guilty. God said the soul that sinneth must surely die. God said when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Take some blood, the blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish. The blood of a lamb that you've observed to be without spot and blemish. That's Jesus Christ. Take the blood of that lamb and cover your dwellings. I'm holy, I'm coming through Egypt. I'm going to destroy. I'm not happy with everybody. I'm angry. Take the blood of a substitute, of an innocent sacrifice, of one who did no wrong, and kill it. Slay it. Take its blood, the life of the flesh is in its blood, and cover your doorpost and your lintel. And when I see the blood, not your fate, not your work, not anything you ever know, when I see the blood of that lamb, I will pass over you. I will not smite you. I will have mercy upon you. I will have grace upon you. I will accept you. I'll lead you out of Egypt into the promised land when I see the blood. John said, there he is. This is preaching. Repentance toward God and what? Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no preaching without this. No preaching without repentance. It's not smile, God loves you. It's moan, groan, grieve. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. That's what the Scripture says. But look, wait, look. Look unto Him, the Lamb, and be saved. This is all about being saved from sin. You can't do it. You can't do anything about your sin. Can't pardon yourself. Can't do anything. But He can. He's the only one who can. Lots of people, back when George Bush, the second Bush, was president, I remember some people did not like that he got elected. And they would make placards and they would hold it up, "Not my president." Oh, yes, he was. But they said, "He's not my president." And I tell you what, if you were on death row, if you're waiting to be executed, one man that could pardon you unconditionally, completely, without anybody saying anything. That's the President of the United States. But if you're on death row, you know what you'd be saying? "He's my President." If you're on death row, you know what you're going to say? "He's my, I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. I need one." Behold the Lamb. All right, now Christ came to be baptized. Why? It's the baptism of the remission of sins. That's what John was doing. Jesus Christ didn't have his sin. Why did He come to be baptized? You ever thought about that? It's baptism for the remission of sin. And later, those who baptized, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but He hadn't died yet. He hadn't died yet. They didn't know the full meaning of what baptism was all about, but when Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, oh, now I know what baptism is. Now I want to confess it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, repentance, but faith toward Christ. See? But Christ can't be baptized. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come to be baptized? Matthew chapter 3. All the people came. All the people. Listen to me. All the people came. Did you hear that? Every single repentant sinner came to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, after Simon Peter preached his message, Christ crucified, reigning, ruling, they all were pricked in their hearts and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Simon Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But not until then. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. Every one of them. All of them. No exception. Not one person at Pentecost said, "Well, the thief wasn't baptized." You hear that? Not one. They that gladly received the word, those that were repent, "Yes, bury me. I want to be crucified with Christ." All the people came. our Lord came. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be baptized. Now, if He did it, you know, we use that term when we baptize people. Sometimes. We say, in obedience to the divine command of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, he said, he that is baptized, confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look at verse Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him. No, no, Lord, I'm not going to do this. Saying, I have need to be baptized. You baptize me. No, I'm not going to baptize you. You come to me. No, you baptize me. Look at verse 15. The Lord answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John said, okay. What's this talking about? Well, in Hebrew, turn over there. I'm going to just return and read it for you, but you need to see this. Our Lord said, it becometh us, children of God, people of God, God's children, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, I've come far short. And you? Oh, in fact, Brother John, I don't feel righteous at all. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I have sinned and come far short of the glory of God, the righteousness of God. So Christ came. He came. He's the Lord, our righteousness. Why did He come? Not merely to show us how to live, but that we might have life. Eternal life. To give us life. Live with God someday. That it might be righteous. That we might be made righteous. He's the Lord our righteousness. Surely one will say that. Anybody? He came to justify. Came to make righteous. Came to pardon. He came to make innocent of all wrongdoing. How? 2 Corinthians 5:21. God hath made him to be sin for us, his people, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right? Are you with me? I say this a lot, but this is the gospel. This is a good news. For unrighteous sinner, Christ came, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. I can't. He did. He did it for me. All right, look at this, Hebrews 2. Oh, this is good. I love this. Never tire of it. And Brother Gene said, I'll just wear this out. You can't wear it out. God's people. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. We see Jesus, a man, made little lower than the angels. Why? To die. He came to die. He came to live and came to die for the suffering of death. Now he's crowned with glory and honor that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. That is, every man he came to die for. Or, here it is, it became him. He said, it becometh us. Well, it became him. For whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Both he that sanctified, they are sanctified all of one. And he, so for this cause, because he made them holy, made them righteous, sanctified, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, man. He said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. John said, I can't do it. Christ said, I can. And he did. He was made sin, all right? The soul that sinneth must surely die. God made Jesus Christ to be sin. His soul was made an offering for sin, wasn't it? He died a guilty sinner. So he's coming. And in Hebrews, look over at Hebrews chapter 5. Look quickly. Hebrews chapter 5. It says, verse 2, he can have compassion on the ignorant, them that are out of the way, for that he himself is compassed with infirmity. You've made the likeness of sinful flesh without sin. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, also for himself to offer for sins. Are you with me? Oh, man. Christ died, put away our sins, and somehow, some way, mysteriously, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore the sins of God's people in his body on the tree, and he was guilty as charged. So he came to be baptized in the repentance for sin. Not his own. You hear it. Babies haven't been baptized. Christ did. The thief wasn't baptized. Christ was. You see that? All right, look at our text. Look at our text. Luke chapter 3. He came to be baptized for all of us. He said in Luke chapter 3, he said, or Luke, another gospel, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. He said, you suppose I've come to bring peace on earth? He said, no, a sword. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And oh, he said, I'm straightened until it happens. That God is going to lay on him the iniquity of all of his people, and God is going to baptize him with fire, all right. On Calvary's tree, Jesus Christ went through hell. All the wrath of God, like that ark of Noah, all the wrath of God, the flood of God's wrath fell on Jesus Christ. And he was baptized. He was immersed. But everybody in him, safe. All right, look at our text. All right, he came being baptized praying, verse 21, praying, and the heaven was open, praying, and heaven opened. He was praying. What did he pray? Doesn't say, does it? He himself said men ought always to pray, didn't he? Why? Because everything we get comes from God. If we're spared, God will spare us. If we're kept from falling, God's going to have to keep us. Without him, we can do nothing. All we like sheep or go astray if he doesn't bring us. Pray, thankful, ask him, help us. He prayed. Prayed to his Father. What was he praying? What did he say? It's not recorded, but there are only four or five prayers recorded by our Lord. And they're all contain two things. The glory of God and the salvation of his people. Always. He told us to pray. Thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our trespass. Give us. Lazarus' tomb, the Lord prayed, didn't he? He said, I know you hear me. I know that thou always hearest me, but for them around me, that they might hear that you have sent me. That's what he said. He prayed out loud in heaven that they might know you've sent me. And you always hear me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This righteous man, it availeth everything. Are you with me? Another prayer, he at the feast in Jerusalem, he was walking along, said, Father, glorify thy name. And it thundered. Boom! God spoke. And said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Isn't that what we pray for, Lord? Isn't that what we pray for today? In the garden, he said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son might be glorified in thee. Father, I will that they that are with me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. Father, sanctify them. Father, keep them. Father, they're not of this world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but keep them from it. Father, and he prayed for his children.
Heaven heard that. Heaven was open. At Lazarus' tomb, he said, I know you hear me. And the grave was open.
And hanging on the cross, his prayers recorded. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know what?
Heaven was opened. You're with me. Heaven was open for sinners.
The veil in the temple rent. Open. The way into the Holy of Holies. Opened. He prayed and it opened. And God said, come on in. All that come unto God by Christ, come on in. But what? But Christ died. It's God that justified. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again. Who's even at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who ever lives to make it. Come on in. Who? The worst. Chief of sinners. The last work he did was a thief on the cross. You're coming with me into my kingdom. Back in 1970, my brother, Robbie, my oldest brother, who was the apple of my parents' eyes, a model son, a devoted son, and a believer, and God took him in Vietnam, and following year, I was still living at home. I was about 15 years old. And someone rang the doorbell, the front doorbell. And I answered it. I went to the door, answered it. And there was a beggar. This man was in rags. He looked bad. Fairly young fella. He looked really bad. And he said, is Reverend Mahan at home? Everybody had respect for preachers back then. Reverend Mahan at home. I said, yeah, I'll come get him. So I went to go get him. I went and got my dad, and he was standing there. I was standing behind him. And the fellow said, I'm a Vietnam vet. And he said, I've come home. And you remember, nobody wanted those fellas. Nobody wanted them. Let's keep from getting angry here. All right, but he said, I'm down and out, and I just need some food. I need some money or something to help me out. He said, I knew your son, Robbie. And my dad said, come on in, son. Come on in. And he came in, and they sat him down in my brother's chair. And fed him my brother's food. And gave him some of my brother's clothing. And they accepted him like my brother. That's what I plead. If you plead the Father with anything else, go away. But if you plead the Son, Lord God, I'm a beggar. I don't deserve anything, but I plead your son. I plead his righteousness. I plead his death. See, my brother had died in defense of his country. My Lord died in defense of his people. And you plead his name, God says, come on in. In it. Accept it in the blood. You get his food. You get his clothing. You get accepted. Heaven's open. He prayed in heaven. And then a dove landed on him. What's this all about? We'll go back to Genesis 8, okay? All right? And then God sent a dove. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Genesis 8, and I'll hurry. Been pretty good so far, eh? This is real good. No, it's not. It's not any better. How could it get any better than what we've said? Poor preacher, but sure is a good subject matter. Wonderful. True. In Revelation, the Lord's eyes are described as eyes as a flame of fire. Mark, see right through. Destroy in a minute. All self-righteousness, all false refuge right now. Lord, we need the Lord to look at us with those eyes and just destroy us. And in the Song of Solomon, it says his eyes are like dove's eyes. Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and truth. Anybody reading between the lines? Our Lord is both. Genesis 8 verse 6 says, came to pass the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Jesus Christ is the window. Jesus Christ is the light. There was only one window in that ark to see light, to see the world for what it was. What did you see when you looked out that window of the ark? What did you see? A perishing world. When you look at the world through the truth, that's what do you see? A perishing world. In thy light we see light, see things as they are. Alright? God made him to be the light. Let there be light. And then he sent forth, verse 7, a raven which went forth to and fro till the waters were dried up from off the earth. A raven, a blackbird, a ravenous raven, ravenous bird that feeds on flesh. Going around picking, going to and fro, seeking whom it may devour. That's after me. Satan. And then, verse 8, he sent a dove. See, Christ is all in. Christ is the ark. Christ is Noah. Christ is the dove. You say the Spirit's the dove. Yes, he is. Well, how can it Christ be the Spirit? Yes, he is. He's the Spirit of Christ. He takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. Like John. John didn't know him until the dove landed on him. Yes, that's him. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark. The dove didn't stay out there. The waters were on the face of the whole earth. And Noah put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him in the ark. All right? The Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs 8 said, his delights were with the sons of men, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. The Lord God sent Christ from the bosom of the Father many, many times in the beginning to visit men. He came to Noah. He came to Adam and Eve. He came to Abram, didn't he? He came to Gideon. He came to Moses. He came and spoke to them. But he didn't stay. He went back to the bosom of the Father. Didn't he? But he's God's dove. He's God's peace. He's telling them. Okay, all right, look at this. Verse, he went back. But the waters were covered, and finally, the waters were covered over the face of the earth. Verse 10, he stayed yet another 7 days, and after the fullness of time, he sent that dove again. When the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, made sin, to redeem them that were under the law, because the waters were covering the earth, sin. Wrath, judgment, anger of God, covering. We need peace with God. We need reconciliation. We need propitiation. He sent the dove, sent Christ. Christ came. So he came. And verse 11 says, the dove came back to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf. Plucked off. Now, since the beginning, the olive branch has been a symbol of peace, hasn't it? Jesus Christ came, sent by the Father, again, to this earth, to make peace by the blood of His cross. To be propitious to us. the world, us, covered with sin, yet he himself became covered with that sin, with his own precious blood. And God saw that covering and was propitiated, was satisfied, was pleased with it. And Christ was crucified. Here's my Easter message. Christ was crucified, was buried like that ark under the waters. But he rose again like that ark rose above the water. And like the dove came back to Noah. When Christ did that work of redemption, completed it, obtained peace by the blood of his cross, he took that olive branch, that peace that he made, all the way back to the right hand of God, back to the bosom of the Father. And now God's at peace, been reconciled. And now he says, it's over. The waters are assuaged. Wrath has been appeased. Noah knew, verse 11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Do you know that the only thing that stays the wrath of God from you is the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you know that? And that dove left and went back to Noah, and our Lord Jesus Christ, it says he returned not again unto him anymore. Our Lord Jesus Christ left this earth, and all the disciples stood there and watched him leave. And he went back to the Father, and he's been there a long time now, 2,000 years. Says the dove never came back. Now here's where the tide differs. Jesus Christ is coming back. And though the world says he won't, he said, lo, I come. I'm coming again. But he's not going to set feet back on this earth again. He's already done that. He's going to come in the air. We're going to see him like a dove. With an olive branch in his mouth, as it were. For God's people. And we're going to rise to meet him in the air. Guilty sinners. The waters assuaged. Go back to the bosom of the Father. I've spoken things too wonderful for me. Okay, let's sing a closing hymn. Verse 168. Number 168.